evening. Welcome to our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 657. Let's stand as we sing, "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory." 657. Let's sing that last verse together.
In the book 'tis written,
this morning, the City Baptist Church of North Vancouver was started, and we're thankful for Brother Paul Connor and his family planting that church. They had a great morning. I talked to him on the phone, and we're calling him right now, and he's going to come up and talk to us here in just a moment. If everything works correctly, it worked perfectly 5 minutes before the service. All right, and we don't even have AirPlay on my phone anymore at all, fellas, so I don't know. But if we can't hear him, we will put it up to the microphone and he'll be able to talk to us and give us a testimony about his first day. And I think we're going to have to do that. So let me just do it that way. Sorry. All right. How many of you have been praying for that new church plant? So we are excited. I was talking to Brother Connor. I'll let him fill you in on the details. They had a great morning. They're excited about it. And God really blessed. And so we praise the Lord for that. All right. And of course, it's just not going to work, is it? Technology is wonderful, except when it doesn't work. And so let me just call them the old-fashioned way, and we'll put them on the microphone for you. And that should only take a second. All right. You can hear it ringing, so it's working. Can we have this microphone, fellas?
Hello?
Hello, Brother Connor.
Yes.
Our FaceTime is not working. As soon as church starts, you know how that works. And so we got you on the cell phone here, and we want you to go ahead and give a testimony. Then I'm going to have Pastor McDonald come and pray for your new work and pray for our church service tonight. If you'll go ahead and share what God did today.
Yes, sir. Well, just want to say, first of all, thank you for to all of you who've been praying for us. And it's really a unique day for us. Obviously, going into something like this, I can't even really explain the nerves that you're feeling and how both my wife and I and those who are starting with us, just how weird it feels. But last night was certainly interesting, but this morning, God just really blessed. We're very thankful. We had 40 in attendance, which is great, for our first Sunday, and God really worked. We had 18 people from our neighborhood, which was really big for us because we certainly, you know, in the city, we're called to this specific neighborhood, and so for us, we were really praying that God would give us people who live here, and everyone came. A lot of people walked in, which was great. Several families came, but a lot of individuals and people just seeking right now. And it was really unique to hear the stories of how they found out about us or how they came to be there. That was really a unique thing. We had several who are unsaved. Certainly, we preached the gospel today. I had one lady fill out a card saying she'd like to know more about what it means to be a Christian. And again, we're dealing with a lot of people who just have no church background, no real, you know, it's a lot of it's new to them. And so I think that was a great start for us. So I feel like a weight has been lifted for sure. So anyway, yeah, it was just a real blessing today.
Amen. So are you starting prayer meetings this week as well or Bible studies?
Yes, we start a Bible study. We've been having church, I guess you'd say, in our house for about a month now. And then we've been doing outreach pretty much every day during the week, and our weeknights have been pretty busy doing that. And so, yes, we started Bible study this week on Thursday night, and we're just going to kind of see how it goes. Our facilities are very limited. I'm not sure if you had heard. Did you hear at all about how we got our place?
A little bit. Go ahead and share it with our folks.
Sure. So we're meeting in a tap dance society building, which is great. It was really unique how we got it. It's literally 3 blocks from where I'm sitting right now, and it's right on the main street, Hastings Street, which is where we wanted to be, and it's full front access, and we have full access to the building on Sunday mornings. However, we almost lost the building last week, so we actually did not get keys until Wednesday, and there was some miscommunication. I actually even started working on another contract, but the Lord opened it up, so we've been working like crazy since Wednesday to get the building ready. We've renovated a lot of it, and it looks great, and it was perfect today. It really was perfect. So, but the society is letting us put up a permanent sign, which is great. I already got a text message from one of the employees there at the society, texted me and said, "Hey, this lady walked in off the street, and she'll be there next Sunday." So that's great. So
good. All right. That's great, Brother Connor. We've been praying for you. We're going to have Pastor McDonald come and open our service in prayer, and he's going to pray for you, and we'll let you listen in, okay?
Amen. All right, let's all pray now for City Baptist Pastor Connor. Father, we do thank you again for the good report we heard. And Lord, we know that that's a needy city, and we know that there's many souls there that need to be saved. And I just praise you, Lord, for the people that they had in attendance this morning, Lord, and what they're preparing. I pray that you would increase the people that walk in off the street and are inquisitive as to what's happening there in that church. And Father, bless their soul-winning efforts, and bless Pastor Connor now as he goes and he preaches and he ministers to these people. May we see people saved, baptized, added to his church, Lord, and that we can see that city reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ and some great things happening, Lord. May that church be a beacon in the future And may others look to it, Lord, and be amazed and be encouraged and want to start other church plants in other cities, in other areas. So, Father, we just ask you would bless Pastor Paul Connor, his family, Lord. Keep them safe. Keep Satan away from them. And, Father, we just pray that you would be victorious through their ministry. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Brother Connor, you have a great day.
All right, we'll have the ushers come forward right now. And Brother John, if you wouldn't mind just praying this evening for the offering.
Let's stand as we sing Springs of Living Water, 644.
Sounds like we've got background music for us. 667, Without Him.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing Without Him on the last verse. We'll have our men come for the Lord's table. 667, Without Him I Could Do Nothing. Jude addressed his letter to those that were sanctified. We learned that sanctified has three meanings. One is the work of God in our life upon our salvation, where He makes atonement for our sins. And another was God setting us apart. We are different from the world. The Holy Spirit continuously works on us to make us separate from the world and sanctified, but only as we submit to His Word and to the Spirit. And the third word for sanctified is that daily walk. If we walk in the flesh, we will not fulfill the lust of the. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's that daily cleansing and working of ourselves, where we have to actually make an effort in reading our Bibles and praying and trusting God to help us through each day. I'm going to take some time now, and I hope that you'll join me in praying that we will sanctify ourselves, that we'll set ourselves apart. Many times before Israel went to battle, before they went to retrieve the ark, the priests and the people were told to sanctify themselves because God was about to do a great work. So let's take a few moments and pray and ask God and to help us as we examine our own hearts tonight, that we might see God do a great work if we'll set ourselves apart before the Lord's table.
Heavenly Father, we do thank You again for this time of remembrance for the broken body of our Savior Jesus Christ as He was dragged through the streets and as He was beaten and whipped and spat upon. And Lord, as He was laughed at, as they nailed His body to the cross, and He did this all for us. Father, we thank You so much for Your great plan of salvation. We thank You so much for the faithfulness of Your Son, Jesus Christ, to bear the shame for our sake. And we thank You for this opportunity now to remember it. With the broken bread, in Christ's name, amen.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Eat all of it. I thought maybe tonight we'd just take just a few minutes and just give a few testimonies. But I'd like to sometimes just give a theme to our testimonies if I could. And tonight I'd just like you to say a few things, just simply what you're thankful for, thankful to the Lord for. And I think he deserves our praise, don't you? And we ought to be thankful and give him thanks for what he's done in our lives and what he's doing in the lives of our church. And I'm thankful tonight for a lot of things. So I'll just give you some quickly. I was thrilled to come to choir tonight and see four brand new members. That was exciting. And tonight, Mrs. Baker, I guess, was not complaining, but commenting to her husband that we need more members. And he said, Mr., isn't it funny how your spouse can be the Holy Spirit? And he said, have you prayed about it? And they prayed, and four members walked up into the choir tonight. So praise the Lord for that. And that's encouraging if you're in the choir, let me tell you. And I'm thankful tonight for Daphne. Daphne's been coming to our church for about a year. And when she first come, I'm going to be honest, she'd both drive you crazy. At the teen night, she was just full of energy and bouncing from one thing to another. And then she got saved, and a peace came in her life, and she changed. There was a calmness about her. And it was funny. Amanda doesn't know this, but on the other night, my wife and I went to Tim Hortons. We never go to Tim Hortons, but we went to Tim Hortons, and Daphne's grandma was there. And she says, I know you from the church. I'm Daphne's grandma. At the very same time, Amanda texts me, and she says, can Daphne get baptized on Sunday? And we're having this conversation about, well, I guess we were trying to figure it out, and we said Sunday would work. And I said to the grandma, said to me, so I've been to your church before. And I said, I looked at my phone, I said, I guess you're going to have to come again on Sunday. And so praise the Lord, the whole family was here this morning. And so saved, baptized this morning, singing in the choir tonight. Praise the Lord. That encourages me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. And I just want to say I'm thankful that Pauline's in heaven tonight. And we rejoice with that. Who's next? Wow. Here we go.
I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this body of believers. I've been teaching on the book of Revelation, and we got down to the seventh church today, and the church of Laodicea. And the key thing that the Lord showed me in that verse, that he loves his people. He chastises, for whom he loveth, he chastises. And to me, that really spoke to me. Even though they were a lukewarm church, Christ still loved them and cared for them.
Would you take it around?
Sure.
Anybody else? Right here, down here.
I am thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to go out and go door knocking, because something really cool happened last time we went. I went out with Austin Judge, and we were doing some doors for our Wednesday night. We were doing some doors for the teen activity. And I had never seen it done before, where you go to a door and somebody was interested right away. Normally they say, no, thank you, not interested. But so it was just really cool, and I was thankful to see that when someone opened the door and we invited them out to church, told them we had a bus ministry, right away she was interested and said, you have a bus ministry? And then she contacted the church the very next day, and her kids were interested in coming up to the Master Club program. And I was just thankful for how God worked and showed us that even though sometimes you don't always see the fruit of your labor when you're doing door knocking, but that time we did, and I was thankful for that.
I'm thankful for the bus ministry. We were reached through the bus ministry, even though I'm not in it now, but I thank you that our bus ministry is still here at our church. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Anybody else?
I'm just really thankful for the chance to go to Camp Yes and for the Bible, because without the Bible, none of us would be standing here today worshiping God. And without the chance to go to camp, I never would have realized that God had been calling me to be a missionary.
Amen. Brother Kurt and that family was reached through the bus ministry, I believe.
I, too, am thankful for the bus ministry. This morning, a little less thankful than most Sundays, but we'll get there. But praise the Lord for all the bus workers. And I wanted to say something about Pauline. I loved the service yesterday. It was beautiful. It honored the Lord. It honored a great seer, godly lady. It was wonderful. And I would love to have a service just like that. You couldn't say all the good things about me like you could her, but definitely want a service like that. Anyhow, I'm most of all thankful for my salvation and for grace. I get far more grace than I ever deserve, and I thank Him for that.
Anybody else?
I'm thankful the Lord saved me. I came from a home where no one went to church. And a neighbor started taking us kids. We started going. I came to know the Lord as my Savior. I'm thankful for my salvation, for peace. And now in my old age, He's my comfort and friend. He always was since I got saved.
I'm thankful for this church, for what it means to me. Down through the years, it's only been about 22 years thereabouts that I've been here, but what a blessing has been down. And especially tonight, I'd like to thank you for the work of the young people. When I see Colton, how much I appreciate his music and his dedication, and the other young people, they're so friendly. And Emily, today we're so thankful because she gave my wife a big boost. She was feeling a bit low for what's happening, and out of clear blue sky, Emily brought a little handmade hand with flowers pasted to it. And it was so wonderful, and it cheered Eileen up so, so much. And it's just wonderful to have, because I left a church in Hamilton that had no young people. They stopped complete Sunday school. They stopped the evening service. They stopped the prayer meeting. And it just died. And for the past many years of it, there was no young people at all. And we were discouraged because it was going nowhere. And since we come here, the Lord's blessed us. And I'm so thankful for everybody here, but especially pray for our young people. Boys, we need you. Young girls, it's a blessing to see you here building up our church and being part of it. I appreciate so very much. Thank you.
Why don't you pray for them right now and then ask the blessing on the cup as well.
Our Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us. And so often we're so reticent to speak out for you. But Lord, thou art our God and Savior. And I want to praise you, Father. And I want to be used of you. And I thank you for what we've been praying for our young people. Father, they are our future church building here, our church family here. And we love them, Father. We pray for them and uphold them daily before you. And I set your blessing upon that you guide them and lead them. But most of all, Father, that their hearts will be open to hear what you have to say to them. And they will be listening to your voice, Father, and following after your direction for their lives. Thank you so much, Father, for a church that has not wavered from the truth. Thank you, Father, for our leaders, and we uphold each and every one for you. And, Lord, we bring before you the emblem of the cup, Father, which we're about to be served, as we are reminded, Lord, that this is just an emblem of your spilt blood for us to wash away our sins. Thank you, Father, that we can come before you and with humbled hearts and realizing we're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. But living in the sinful world, Lord, help us and strengthen us And we sure thank and praise you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's do this tonight while we pass out the cup. Let's sing together. And as we pass, let's sing, God is so good, all right?
God is so good. God is so good.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Drink all of it.
Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love, for your tenderness, for being such a great God, and that you're in heaven, that you hear our prayer, and, Lord, that you're at the right hand of the Father, seated, Lord, in control of the universe. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can serve you with joy and gladness. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember the cross. Lord, what an awful price you had to pay. And Lord, your heart's still broken today with the loss with us, Lord. Help us to have revival, Lord, in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing as they're seated, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy.
Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou hast created.
panel discussions. Reminding us about our children lately. It seems like Brother Curtin just talking about the bus ministry just before that song. And a couple weeks ago, we kind of lost control of a Wednesday night service when the Lord came by. And that was a good thing. And Brother Baker preached for about 10 minutes, and then I preached for about 10 minutes, and we prayed the rest of the night for our young people. And certainly is needed, and I'm thankful. And it puts tonight's message in a new light for me. Jude chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter. Turn to the book of Jude with me. Earnestly contend for the faith. And you say, why? Because we have a future that we are passing on a heritage to. And if we don't earnestly contend for the faith, there will be nothing for them to contend for. So we must take our stand. The book of Jude tonight, earnestly contend for the faith. This morning we talked about the common salvation that we read about in verse 3. And we'll read again a little bit more tonight perhaps. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful and thankful tonight for your many, many mercies and all the grace that you have shown us each and every day. Father, we thank you for Calvary that still is able to save. Thank you for the blood that was shed. We thank you that our sins can be covered. But Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus, who willingly gave his life that we might have life. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us as we look to the Word of God tonight and understand that as we earnestly contend for the faith, that faith is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is somebody worth fighting for. So help us tonight, we pray. May the Spirit of God help me, guide us, direct us. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we talked a little bit, but there were some in junior church, and we'll just kind of catch up a little bit. As we begin to focus on the book of Jude, we'll notice that Jude had a purpose in writing the book. His purpose was not the same as the Holy Spirit's, it turns out. But he admits that, and he shares with us in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. So Jude sat down and he wanted to write about salvation. What a great topic to write about. There's been books and books written, and Jude thought maybe this would be a great thing. After all, Jesus was my brother. I'd like to write a little bit about him. I'd like to tell his story. I'd like to express about more about salvation because of what my brother has done. But it was needful of something else. The Holy Spirit moved in and began to speak to him. And it says that they should earnestly contend for the faith. Why is that? I want you tonight to see a couple things. First of all, I want you to see the need to contend for the faith. We'll never do it unless we recognize the need or the importance of it, how important it is. And I'm thankful, to be honest with you, that years that have passed, that in the church that I sat in when I was 5 years old still believes the same thing. Because we had preachers that contended for the faith. We had deacons and Sunday school teachers and workers and a people that sat in the pew every week praying that our church would contend for the faith, that we would stay right on the old King James Bible, that we would preach that blessed book. And, you know, a lot of people talk a lot about the King James Bible. We ought to open it up once in a while and actually preach it. Amen. It's not enough to say, well, I stand on the Bible. Hey, open it up and get into the Bible and understand what you believe. That's why I believe today we still contend for the faith. We still stand for the truth. And so I want you to see tonight the need to contend for the faith. And then secondly, I want you to see how we must contend for the faith. And, you know, a lot of times we get militant about these things. I want you to notice that Jesus Christ, there was only twice in his entire ministry I ever saw him militant. It's when he weaved a scourge and he defended his Father's house. It wasn't about himself. It was about his Father. It was about a people dishonoring the name of his Father. And so Christ took action in those cases. But for the rest of the time, he was meek and tender and just simply with the spoken word turned hearts around. So let's look first of all tonight at the need to earnestly contend. You say, why? Well, the Bible says in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. There are certain men crept in unawares. Let me tell you this. Sometimes we're aware. Satan is very subtle, and there's times that people creep in, and after a while they'll reveal their true colors. But I'm here to tell you, I've been in the ministry about 20 years now, and there are times they creep in and you know right away. There are times, I can remember a time where we had a fellow come into our church and there was something obviously wrong. We didn't know what it was. And he went over and he sat and he took his coat off and he laid it over his knees and he began to write in some strange language. I didn't know if it was a language or not, but it appeared like some sort of hieroglyphics or something you might see written in sandstone. I didn't know what it was. And I said to somebody, I said, listen, please just keep an eye on this fellow. I don't know what's wrong, but there's something very strange going on. He went over to the guest book and he looked at me. He said, well, I saw him sign the guest book. I'll get his name. And he went out and looked at his name and he wrote the name Jehovah. It was good to have God in the services that day, but I don't think it was the same one that we worship. And this young man was at the back, and finally, in the middle of the service, he stood up and began to preach as I was preaching. He began to yell at me. And then finally, he turned and he says, I'm going to get some meat that I can eat. And out he went. And we were thankful that he left because he was disrupting the service. Sometimes they creep in awares. But the truth is, more often than not, they creep in unawares. You're not always aware of the subtlety of the devil and the way that he works. And the Bible says he'll do some things. And here's the need to earnestly contend, because these men will creep in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning, here's the first thing, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. In other words, perverting the gospel of grace. You know, the Bible teaches us that there will be those people that will say, well, because of grace, I can just keep on sinning. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what's the Bible say? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? What are the next two words? God forbid. He said, why would Paul say something like that? Because he was addressing a situation and a people that thought, hey, God's grace is so wonderful, I'll just keep living the way I am, and then at my death, God will save me. Listen, you don't understand the grace of God. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. Turn, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, keep your finger in the book of Jude. We'll come back there. But back up just a few and go to Titus. Titus is right after 2 Timothy, right before Philemon and Hebrews. Titus chapter 2. Look with me in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God does not teach lasciviousness. That's a misunderstanding and a perversion of the gospel of grace. Grace says, Jesus Christ died for me. I want to live godly. Grace says Jesus Christ shed his blood, so I'm going to deny worldly lust. I'm going to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what grace really teaches us. Now, turn back to the book of Jude. These wicked men will creep in and they will, some of them will pervert the gospel of grace. I want you to see another one. Back up to verse 3. Here's another one here. Some will deny the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture. I'm here to tell you something tonight. I'm going to show you the Scripture in a moment. If this book is not inspired, I don't want anything to do with it. If this is not the Word of God, why would I live by it? If it had errors in it, I don't want anything to do with it. I want to know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And because it's given by inspiration of God, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. By the way, that's what I believe. God's word is perfect and inerrant. And so look what the Bible says back in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Look what those next words say, which was once delivered unto the saints. Listen, friend, how was God's word delivered to you? Right there. The word of God was once delivered to the saints. The Bible says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For 2 Peter 1:21. And so the Bible was given to us. The word of God was given to us. And now when I got saved by the word of God. The living word of God, Jesus Christ, and the written word of God, the Holy Bible. And so we need to understand tonight that there are going to be those that come and challenge that. He says, earnestly contend for the faith. Which faith? That faith which was once delivered to the saints. The word of God. Listen, the Bible is worth standing on. The Bible is worth fighting for. Somebody said this, I defend the Bible the very same way I defend a lion. I just open up the cage and let it out. Praise the Lord. That's how we ought to defend the word of God. Listen, God doesn't need you taking up his fight. All he needs you to do is preach the word of God. Preach the blessed book and let God fight for himself. The faith that we are to earnestly contend with for is that body of doctrine that we received in this holy canon of Scripture. 66 books from beginning to end. Listen, do you know that God has revealed everything he wants you to know in this book? Now, I'm not discounting tonight the still small voice. I'm not. I believe the Holy Spirit comes along and he moves us to do things. But listen, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit will never even once disagree with the written word of God. Never. It'll never happen. What did Paul say? If an angel or any other creature come from heaven and preach unto you any other gospel, let him be accursed. We are to line everything up with the word of God. Period. And so we believe tonight that the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us. We pray for his guidance. We pray for his help. I told you a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit came in and our service, we didn't even have an order of service after that. The Lord just moved. That's wonderful. But the word of God is paramount. We must always look and we must always earnestly defend it. Now, listen, everything God needs you to know is right here. Everything God needs you to know is right here. There's nothing added to it. In 2,000 years. Matter of fact, if you'll read at the end of the Revelation, there's a curse for those that would add to God's word. Now, listen, the fact that God has revealed all that he would to us is evident from such statements like that of Paul. Paul told the Ephesians this, I have shunned not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. It's all there. Peter, writing that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How many of you tonight believe that the Word of God is everything God wants us to know? It is His love letter to us. It is revelation to mankind. And it is worth defending. The Scriptures which contain everything, we must remember. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Every word is given. I remember in Bible college we were talking and there was a fellow on my floor and he had a different Bible version and the school didn't promote that at that time, and now they're kind of gone crazy, but the school didn't promote that at all at that time. They were a King James Bible school, and this young man, he was kind of rebellious against that, and he says, I think this is easier to read. I said, well, it is easier to read when it leaves out good words like regeneration. Amen. That's a good Bible word. When it leaves out good words like, I'm justified freely by His grace, I'm sanctified, I'm sealed unto the day of redemption, and words like that were missing. It was just a storybook. And so I gave him a gospel tract that somebody had given to me, and it said 200 words missing from the Bible, 200 verses missing from the modern Bible versions. And so he took those and he said, he read through it a little bit and he came back and he says, well, I got noticing that most of those verses were not important. Wow, who died and made you the Holy Spirit? My Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we are to earnestly contend for it. There's people today that will suggest that God's revelation isn't complete or that it's still in progress. There's others that believe God's revelation needs to be fresh and renewed. Listen, our task is to earnestly contend for the faith which has been delivered. We have it. Some will challenge the inerrancy of Scripture. Some will pervert the gospel of grace. Some will deny God's authority. Look at Jude again. The Bible says in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Look what it says now. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice a common word between the two? The word Lord. We have the Lord God and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. I know a lot of people that will not deny Jesus Christ, but they'll deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's the difference? Lord is His title. It speaks of His authority. He is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords. I used to work with a fellow by the name of Mike, and Mike was a Muslim fellow years ago, back in 1994. And Mike had come over from Iraq, and he was a Sunni Muslim. And we talked, we worked through the night a lot of nights, and we were stocking shelves and such, and so we would talk about different things. And we got on the topic of religion, and I began to tell him about Jesus Christ. And he began to talk about Muhammad. And I started asking questions. I had never really ever been around a Muslim fellow before. That was the first time I was in the city, and I'd never met one in Missouri and never met one in, you know, Simcoe, such a small area. There hadn't been a lot. And so I started asking questions, and I said this, and it was totally by accident or it was by the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I said, now the Prophet Muhammad, and I begin to ask questions. Now the Prophet Muhammad, and he says, I've never heard a Christian say the Prophet Muhammad. He said, you show great respect. I'll talk to you all night. And God opened a door to be able to share the gospel with him. I didn't know. It was just a mistake. I didn't mean to. He's not my prophet. And the funny thing is after that night, he no longer wanted to be called Mike. He wanted to be called Mahmud. That was his Muslim name, Mahmud. And so immediately that all changed. He adopted a Canadian name to make it easier for people, but he wanted to change all that. But he said this. He says, oh, we believe in Jesus Christ. I begin to talk to him about the Lord. He says, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he was a great prophet. But he was not the greatest prophet. The greatest prophet was Muhammad. You see, they do not deny that Jesus Christ existed. They do not deny that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. And even the Muslims will even tell you that, yes, he was a miracle worker. But he was not Muhammad. They deny that he was Lord. The historians might tell you that there was a great teacher named Jesus Christ. There was a rabbi named Jesus Christ. There's history books that call him an insurrectionist, Jesus Christ, one that was a rebel. But they deny that he was Lord. You know, the sad thing is there's churches today that hold up Jesus Christ just as a good teacher. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. There is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. He is the name above all names, and at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. We are to earnestly contend for the faith when those deny God's authority. Can I say this morning or this evening? God has extended His authority to three different branches as well. God has given His authority to the government. We ought to pray for our leaders. We ought not be flippant about them. Somebody reminded me a few weeks ago, Brother Judge did, and it was just a misspeak. I don't mean to do it. And I referred to President Obama as Obama. I don't mean to do that. I meant to say President Obama. I don't talk about him like that. I feel like if we want respect, we should respect his position as well. And Mr. Judge says, hey, you said Obama. Said, and he says, the kids are listening. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You'll notice from the pulpit, I try to say, if I call upon you, I'll say, Brother Roberts or Brother somebody. I'd never say, hey, Jimmy. I don't say that from the pulpit. I find that there's kids here. That's disrespectful. And so we ought to honor our government. We ought to pray for our leaders. By the way, that extends down to the police officers. Read Romans chapter 13. It says they bear not the sword in vain. We ought to have respect for them, young people. They're not the pigs. They're not the fuzz. You know, I'll tell you, it was Bethany. Bethany come in and she'd been watching some cartoon show or something, and we heard a siren go by, and she goes, oh, here's the popo. I said, we don't talk about them like that, Beth. I said, those are the police. They're there to help us. They're here to protect us. We ought to have respect. Somebody say amen. We ought to have respect for authority. That is God's given authority. Read Romans 13 again. We don't have time tonight. God also instituted the church. Man, I thank God for the church. I thank God. Listen, young people, when your Sunday school teacher says, hey, don't be doing those kind of things. Don't be watching those dirty movies. Don't be listening to that kind of music. Listen to them. God has put them in your life because they love you and they want to protect you. That's God's authority. God also gave the family. Ephesians 6:1 is still in the Bible, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, if you're going to disobey your parents, do you know what the penalty is? A shortened life. Huh. Doesn't the Bible say something about obeying our parents that your days may be long? My wife made the comment this week that she's talking about Pauline. She said Pauline must have been great to her parents because she had such a great life, long life. Listen, we need to be respectful of the things that God has placed in our lives as authority. The Bible says that the evil men will creep in unawares and they will say this. I remember years ago, a young man came into our church, a teenage boy, and he was interested in the girls. And listen, I'm in this day and age, I'm glad when a boy is interested in a girl. Amen. And by the way, you say, well, you ought not go to church just to find a girl. It's better going to church to find a wife than going to a bar. I'll tell you that. Somebody said that about, they said, well, Alan's just going to Bible college so he can find a wife. And Mr. Shoemaker says, better than going to a bar. Amen. If you want the right kind of spouse, that's where you ought to be looking. But, oh, man, I got on a rabbit trail there. What am I talking about? God's authority. I remember a young man coming to the church and he was interested in the girls. And I don't know that that's a bad thing, that we ought to be looking in the right places. But he began to say, you don't have to dress like that. It'd be okay if you dressed a little differently. And he began to bring music into the cars and he'd play music for them girls and for the guys that were with him. And he'd start saying, well, you know, you'd go to a party with me on Friday night. And, well, I tell you what, it wasn't long. We didn't see much of that fella anymore because a few dads got upset. A few dads said, you're not going to tell our daughters to dress like that. And you're not going to tell our boys to listen to that music. And finally that boy said, I'm not coming back to this place. Listen. He said, well, that's not very nice. Listen, a shepherd has to protect the sheep. A shepherd has to protect the sheep. If they were coming in your house, you'd do the same thing. Protect your children. Well, listen, I hope that young man got saved. And I wish he would have responded in the right way. If he had the right heart, he would have said, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. And he would have got right with God. But instead, he chose to leave. We need to obey the authority that God has placed in our lives. So we see tonight that there are some things we earnestly contend for. I could go on, but I'm just going to give you a few. We are to earnestly contend for the Word of God. We are to earnestly contend for the gospel of grace. We are to earnestly contend for God's authority in this world. By the way, God's authority is taking a beating today. God's authority. You say, is God impotent? No. He's Almighty God. But His people are letting things get by. We have abortion today. I can't imagine such a terrible thing. Brother Paul McPherson was telling me this morning that one of our young people was sharing with him that there was somebody at Camp Yes this year, a young lady that had a scar on her face, and she got saved at Camp Yes. And somebody said, what's that scar from? She said, I was aborted as a child. And she says, I survived. And she says, when my mother heard me cry, she said, please don't kill my baby. She says, but I have this scar from when they tried to kill me. That's going right against God's authority. Flying in His face. The homosexual agenda. Never mind, I'll get going all night. How can we contend for the faith? How can we contend for the faith? The Bible says do it earnestly. Earnestly. That word earnestly comes from the exact same word we get our word agony today. Agony. It's associated with strife and combat of the most vigorous and determined variety. The word is in the tense that it's continuous. It's an ongoing battle. When are we to lay our armor down? Never. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 what kind of battle we're in. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Bible tells us that we're always under attack. The devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. We must earnestly contend for the faith. There's nothing but vigorous counter-contention will be sufficient. But let me tell you this. The use of that expression tells us we're at war. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 as well. I won't take the time to read it. But let me say this. This is not the time to be unprepared. We are to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. We must contend with vigor. So let's use the weapons at our disposal. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just summarize them for you tonight. I know what our time is like. We are to be girded about with truth. We are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We are to have our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. We are to have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we are to watch always with all prayer and supplication. I want you to notice that most of these are for our own defense, lest we be lost in the struggle. But Paul also has something to say about other weapons that are mighty through God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherein I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we have walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Listen, Paul is saying we have the weapons that we need. We are mighty through God. We need to take our stand and earnestly contend for the faith. Let me tell you how. First of all, we are to make sure that we are first spiritual. You know, this type of war that we are fighting is a spiritual battle, and we must be a spiritual people. Galatians chapter 6 says, "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you go and help him." You make sure that you're prepared for the battle, that you are there to help him. Listen, we are to refrain from quarrels. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the same snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So how do we fight this fight? In meekness, in gentleness, with the Word of God, teaching, loving. Let me say this, you'll win more battles on your knees than you'll win with your fists. Earnestly contend for the faith. The call to earnestly contend for the faith is not a license to engage in contentions and in wrath. Galatians chapter 5 says those are evidences of the flesh. But instead it is a call to walk in the Spirit and vigorously contend with all the weapons that are at our disposal. First and foremost, the Word of God. Listen, I tell you what, the Word of God will fight any battle. I learned this a long time ago. It took me a while to learn it. But I would preach and I would give an invitation and I would use, and I'd say, you know what, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. The Bible says that you can have, that once you're saved, you're all, and I'd say things like that. And finally, Marvin Massacre said to me, he says, you know what? He says, instead of saying that you're once saved, always say, he says, read the scripture that says you can have everlasting life. Because as soon as you use the scripture, he says, the Holy Spirit begins to move. He says, stop paraphrasing those things, and he says, start quoting the Bible. What a difference. Because now, by the way, and I don't mind saying this, I don't mean to be disrespectful, then it's God's work. And then it's God's problem. A lot of times you can get up and you can preach and it's your fault, but if you give the scripture, the Word of God is supposed to be powerful and like a two-edged sword. Let it do the work. And so we are to be equipped with the Word of God, but also with Christ-like qualities, gentleness, meekness, because the Bible says they are mighty through God to win people over to obedience in Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes tonight as we think of how we can earnestly contend for the faith. The Bible says evil men will creep in unawares and they will challenge the authority of Scripture. They'll challenge the authority of God. They'll challenge the gospel of grace. Boy, isn't that a fleshly thing to do? I understand why they challenge it. Because it makes you feel good to think that you can actually do something for your salvation. It makes us feel all warm and fuzzy to think that I worked my way to heaven. That I've earned favor with God. But the problem is, the only favor we have with God is through grace, and you can't earn grace. It is a gift. It's unmerited favor. Would you pray with me tonight, and maybe there's some that would come to the altar, and help us to pray that we would earnestly contend for the faith. As I heard Brother Curtin's testimony tonight, my wheels began to turn, and then I heard Cindy sing. And I got thinking, you know, if we don't earnestly contend for the faith, those bus kids we're bringing in, they won't have a church. There will be no future. And I'm not just talking about Bethel Baptist Church. There will be no churches anywhere if we stop contending for the faith. The Bible says otherwise, though, that if we will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep being faithful, the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. Let's stand to our feet tonight as the instruments play, and Brother Baker's going to sing a song of invitation. If God has spoke to your heart, would you move at this altar? Would you pray where you are? Would you earnestly contend for the faith?
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let's sing the second verse together. Standing on the promises that
cannot fail.
Cannot fail, all right? That usually helps us get through the verse. Let's sing it together. Brother Baker, you lead us.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, Thou the holy source of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God.
We've kept you late tonight, so we will just dismiss with a word of prayer. Is there any announcements we need to make right tonight? Tomorrow night is the Academy, 7 o'clock for the Academy Parents Teachers Night here at the church. Anything else urgent? Not tonight. You have your bulletins. Make sure you check those. Fellowship as long as you like tonight. We still got a little daylight peeking through the windows, maybe only for a couple more weeks. So enjoy it and go and have a coffee with somebody tonight. All right? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful tonight that we can gather in Your presence. We're so grateful to be called the children of God. We pray that You'd bless us now as we go our separate ways. Equip us, help us to do more for You than we've done any other day in our lives. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great week.